Excerpt from the television show, The French Chef. It originally aired on January 1, 1964. Courtesy WGBH-TV and PBS Distribution.
Welcome to The French Chef. I'm Julia Child. Today we're going to do coq au vin, chicken and red wine. It's one of the best and I think one of the most famous French chicken dishes. And it's the kind of a recipe a lot of people order when they go out to a restaurant. And restaurants love to have coq au vin on the menu because it's the kind of a dish they can cook way ahead of time. And that's one reason it's a very good one for us to have in our repertoire, because it's easy to do and it's a great party dish. So we're going to start right in on it.
True crime.
Sex.
Political conspiracy.
Celebrity gossip.
Murder.
UFOs.
Crooked officials.
The occult.
Assassination.
Courtroom drama.
Rape.
Corporate scams.
Scandal sheets.
Hello, everyone. My name is Thad Helsley, and welcome to Scandal Sheet. And today, in celebration of Women's History Month, we are taking a look at one of the most celebrated women in modern American history, Ms. Julia Child. Now, most people know Julia Child as a chef specializing in French cooking, a book author, and a very long-time television personality. So, what's so scandalous about that? Well, before Julia cooked her first omelet, she worked as a spy for the U.S. government during World War II. And we're going to tell you all about that. Now, as usual, I am joined by my co-host, Anurata. Anurata, how are you?
Hey, Thad. I am doing well. We're talking about, of course, food, which I'm obsessed with. So, you know I'm doing well today.
Okay. Well, we are also joined by a somewhat frequent guest of the pod, Dylan Cuillar. Now, Dylan has helped us on a diverse number of episodes. We did an episode on Kurt Vonnegut, the author. We did an episode on zombies, on Oppenheimer and the first atom bombs. But also Dylan is getting into food himself. So welcome back, Dylan.
Hello. Thanks for having me back.
So, Dylan, you do a podcast yourself with your partner. You want to plug that?
Yeah, I have a podcast called Unburied Books, where my fiance Kasia Osset and I, we read through the books in the NYRB Classic Series, which is a series that republishes books that have gone out of print. And now we have a Patreon, so if you go and listen to us and enjoy us, sign up for that. And yeah, if you like books, would recommend the show.
Good. Yeah, I signed up for it. So, yes, I'm a beneficiary of that podcast as well.
Well, thank you, Fed.
But you're becoming a budding chef. Is that correct?
I've been learning how to cook over the past year. I'm trying to get better. I'm making a Julia Child recipe when we're done with the podcast today in honor of discussing one of the foremost intelligence assets of our last great century.
Well, that's good. That's good because Kasia, your fiance, she really enjoys cooking. And at one point, I was telling Anurata before we started, she made an attempt. This was probably before she met you. She made an attempt to cook her way through the Julia Child's first cookbook.
Yeah.
She started. I don't know how far she got because there's like 546 recipes.
So. We were watching Julia and Julia not a month ago.
Oh, really? Wow, what a coincidence.
Yeah, and there's just like so many random sauce recipes or recipes with really weird ingredients that it just seems almost like a bad thing to try to literally cook all of them. And it turns out that, like, you know, Julie, I don't remember her last name from Julie and Julia, but like
Julie Powell.
She and her husband were like cheating on each other the whole time and had a really horrible divorce. So maybe don't like throw your weight behind that. I'm not going to recommend that to most people.
Well, I was going to talk about it a little bit later, just, and the tragic thing was Julie Powell actually died of COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, she was only in her 40s, yeah. I think. So that's too bad. But now, Anurata, you're passionate about food. So why don't you tell us about where you are on the cooking front? Like what styles of cuisine are you like, or are we waiting for a restaurant sometime soon?
Well, Thad, food is life. That's all I can say. Food is my life.
Okay.
As an Indian, and that too, a Punjabi, we live for food. but yeah, no, I am obsessed with cooking. I used to, I guess, since I was really little, and that's why my my plug in my food Instagram is called they call me the MacGyver of the kitchen, because ever since I was little, if I didn't have something, I would like replace it or like find something very similar that would give it the same effect. Like if you need something salty, if you need acid, if you need something like that to, you know, give the food what it needs, I used to replace that. And then I just got really into cooking. You know, when I moved in with my brother, we were roommates for a while, so I would cook for us a lot. And then when I went to Barcelona, like my taste buds were just like, whoa, hello. So like I just really, really got into cooking there. And I've just been cooking ever since. I bake a lot, so.
Do you cook French? Have you ever cooked a Julia Child recipe?
I don't cook Julia Child's, but I might now.
Okay.
Just for the episode. Just kidding. No. I mean, it seems interesting. I'll probably give it a go with, you know, but I cook a lot of, like, you know, crepes, and then Emeril has a really great savory chicken and mushroom crepe recipe. So I do that a lot. And then, you know, crepes are like really easy to just make and just like store. So I'll do that a lot. And then when I was in Barcelona, you know, I got to learn a little bit more, like different Italian, French, and Spanish cooking, of course. So sometimes I'll do like a fusion.
Well, that's cool. That's awesome. So maybe you'll have to make something and FedEx it to Dylan and I. So he's in Cleveland. I'm down here in the D.C. area.
That sounds good. You got to follow me on Instagram first, though, Thad.
Yep.
I will.
Yes, you as well, Dylan.
Okay. We will.
And I wanted to say that my brother is actually like His girlfriend is Indian, and he went over to India this past year and had just a real cooking experience, like you're talking about, with like her family and just getting
That's
immersed
awesome.
In that.
That's awesome. That's really, really cool. He didn't mention it when he was on the show, did he, Thad? That sly dog.
We didn't ask him about his personal life that much. It's like, okay, so tell us all about your girlfriend.
Is she Indian? that's awesome. Exactly. No, that's very cool. Very, very cool. Yeah, India is filled with different kinds of flavors and all those kinds of things. And depending on what part of India you're from, obviously, I don't know, some dishes have like a little sweetness to them. Some dishes have some spice. Obviously, Punjabis, our food's pretty spicy, but also probably the most fattening. That's where we have chicken tikka masala and all those things. So,
So anyways, back to Julia Child. So one of the weird things here is that, so Julia died in 2004 at the age of 91. Okay, that's 20 years ago. Now, But now there's like this sudden resurgence in terms of her popularity. So she's almost more popular now than she has ever been. I mean, for example, HBO recently concluded the second season of a series about Julia Child starting her original show at PBS and, you know, how that evolved. There's also a feature-length documentary about Julia's life called Julia, which was made a couple of years ago. You can also see that on HBO. And there's another TV series called The Julia Child Challenge, which was like a co-thing between the Food Network and Discovery, where home cooks compete against one another, contestants, in recreating the recipes that she showcases on television. So, you know, it just seems so weird to me that all of a sudden everybody started making this stuff. And I tried to look around, and Variety said, well, we think that COVID had something to do with it. People didn't have anything to do, so they started cooking more. And, everybody, you know, when you think of Cook, you think Julia Child, but maybe you guys have an opinion. Either of you.
Yeah. No, I mean... Well, two words, Meryl Streep. Didn't she play Julia Child in a movie?
Yeah.
She did, but that was 2009. I'm talking about right here and now, you know. I mean, that was a very popular movie back then. It made like $150 million. But all the things I just listed have happened in the last year or two.
I saw the new HBO show with like Niles from Frasier as Julia Child's husband.
Correct, yeah.
I saw a little bit of that with my parents, and I thought it was... an interesting Wikipedia page, but nothing compared to like Nora Ephron's masterpiece from 2008.
Yeah. Okay. You thought it was too just process oriented.
Yeah.
And
I thought it was straightforward fine for what it is, but you know, it didn't get me inspired to like make Julia Child's food like Julie and Julia did.
Hmm.
But I remember when that came out, like our family did buy the book and we made her Boeuf Bourguignon and stuff. Like
that is the. That's the classic, isn't it?
It's unbeatable.
And Kasia has made that too. I know she made that one
one
year for us. I think it was Christmas dinner or something. But it's hard. It's hard, more difficult than just like a regular beef stew, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of steps. But we're not actually here to talk about her cooking career per se. We're here to talk, as we said, we're here to talk about her career as a spy. So, Anurata, you want to get us started?
Yeah, let's hop into this. Like many Americans, Julia Child wanted to help the country prepare for the war. So in September 1941, 3 months before the U.S. entered the Second World War, Childs began volunteering with the Pasadena chapter of the American Red Cross, where she headed the Department of Stenographic Services. Unfortunately, when she tried to join the military for good, she was rejected from both the Women's Army Corps and the Women Accepted for Volunteer Emergency Service because she was too tall. At 6'2", that's really wild. Maybe she should have just been a basketball player. But anyways,
yeah.
I know, man. Like, geez,
that's tall. That is tall.
She could be hooping with Caitlin Clark right now.
I know. What the heck, man? Well, if she knew that was a career, I'm pretty sure she would have done it. But yeah, anyways. So undeterred, Julia Child found another way to contribute to the war efforts in 1942. She became a senior typist with the research unit of the Office of War Information in Washington, D.C. And by the end of the year, Childs was a junior research assistant with the Secret Intelligence Branch of the Office of Strategic Services, the precursor to the Central Intelligence Agency, or the CIA. So basically, she became Wonder Woman over there. She was among the 4,500 women who served in the Office of Strategic Services as a research assistant for the OSS's secret intelligence. Julia Child recorded thousands of officer names into the agency's internal database system and handled highly classified intelligence documents. Because of her education and experience, soon she was given a position as a top secret researcher working directly for the head of OSS, General William Donovan. She also worked in the Aircraft Warning Service, a civilian service branch of the U.S. Army tasked to monitor enemy aircraft entering American airspace. So that's kind of wild. She gave that all up to make some fondue. So that's what we're getting.
Well, first, okay, that was the first part of her career. But and it doesn't sound like, you know, she was driving around in an Aston Martin like James Bond and jumping out of planes without a parachute or things like that. But her spy career was more substantial than just research and paperwork. Right, Dylan?
Yeah, she took her career to the emergency sea and rescue equipment section where she helped develop a recipe for shark repellent, which, like, I wonder how close that is to, like, Indian spicy.
Yeah, I know, man. put a little tikka masala on the shark, and the shark just starts freaking out, like, "Ooh, hello."
I know. And that, I mean, she did that because there were, like, multiple shark attacks against naval officers since the start of the war. Curious sharks also were sent off ordnance targeting German U-boats, and the OSS was tasked to create a shark repellent that could be used for the military's underwater endeavors. And it took a lot of trial and error, but the field research team, which included Julia, found that a copper acetate to be the most effective repellent.
Hmm.
So it wasn't the tikka masala. Just kidding.
I'm sure it'd go crazy. Well in a tikka masala, though.
Oh, yeah, I know, man. That stuff's strong, I'll tell you. Copper acetate, though. That's kind of wild.
She said at one point that my first big recipe was shark repellent that I mixed in a bathtub for the U.S. Navy. For the men who might get caught in the water, she said to the Christian Science Monitor. And in a later interview, Julia Child described shark repellent formula as her first major recipe. I must say we had lots of fun, she told Elizabeth McIntosh, another OSS officer, when interviewed for the book Sisterhood of Spies, the Women of OSS. Shark repellent, dubbed Shark Chaser, was issued by the Navy based on Child's original recipe until the 1970s, although it was rumored that the repellent was also indeed used to protect NASA equipment, as Child told McIntosh. Still in use today, the experimental shark repellent marked Child's first foray into the world of cooking. We designed rescue kits and other agent paraphernalia. I understand the shark repellent was developed, is being used today in downed space equipment, trapped around so that the sharks won't attack it when it lands in the ocean. That's pretty smart. And in 1944 to 1945, Child was posted in Kandy, Ceylon, now Sri Lanka, where her responsibilities included registering, cataloging, and channeling a great volume of highly classified communications for the OSS clandestine stations in Asia. She was later posted in China, where she received the emblem of meritorious civilian service as head of the registry of the OSS Secretariat. For her service, Child received an award that cited many of her virtues, including drive and inherent cheerfulness, and her spy days ended when she left the OSS following the end of World War II. As with other OSS records, her files were declassified in 2008. Unlike other files, Child's complete file was available online. Kind of wonder if that came out with the 2008 release of Julia and Julia.
Yeah, it must have had something to do with it. Does seem like kind of a coincidence.
The CIA doing cross-marketing right there.
Because it was only a year later.
Yeah.
While she was in...
Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka, where she met her husband, Paul Child, a fellow OSS officer. And then after the couple married, they moved to Paris, France, where her husband was assigned to the U.S. Information Agency in 1948. And it was during their time in France that Child, whose privileged upbringing left her with zero cooking skills, became enamored with French cuisine.
Excerpt from the motion picture, Julie and Julia, 2009. Courtesy Columbia Pictures and Sony Releasing. Julia Child, played by Meryl Streep, discusses her post-OSS future with her husband Paul, played by Stanley Tucci.
What should I do, you think?
About what?
I don't really want to go back into government work.
Mm-hmm.
No, but shouldn't I find something to do? Wives don't do anything here. That's not me. This is not me.
I know.
I saw a notice on the bulletin board at the embassy for hat making lessons.
You like hats?
I do.
No. What is it that you really like to do?
Eat. I like to do. I know.
And you're so good at it.
Look at you now.
I'm
growing in front of you.
And so to fill her newly freed up schedule, she enrolled in the elite cooking school, Le Cordon Bleu, one of France's most prestigious cooking schools. And it was an ambitious undertaking because, as Child put it herself, she could only boil water for tea. At the point when she first walked in there. Plus, she was absolutely the only woman in the entire school. Everybody else was a man. So it was like, what are you doing here? Kind of a dramatic career change for Julia, huh?
That's like crazy. She literally is like the human Barbie. having all these different kinds of like careers, you know, but she shouldn't sell herself short. You know what I mean? Like, she made freaking shark repellent. That's wild. Like, how do you even test that? Was she like...
You mix it in with beef bourguignon. Beef bourguignon.
I know.
Beef bourguignon shark chaser.
I can only imagine her just like trying to test it out. They're like, all right, Julia, go test this out. See if it works. And she gets into the water and she like releases it and sharks are coming. And she's like, woohoo, not ready yet.
Oh, that's so true.
That's so crazy, though. Like, that's good for her. I am really curious to see, like, how did they test it out? But I think maybe she should probably leave that part out in her, like, books. Like, yeah, the first ever thing I made was a repellent. Here you go. Here's some beef bourguignon. I hope you enjoy it.
Given that, though, is it really that big of a career change? I mean...
You don't think it is a career change, then, huh? To go from spying to cooking?
What is cooking if not, you know, mixing chemical ingredients together until something comes out the way you want it? Sometimes you want to eat it, and sometimes you want to not get eaten and use it to not get eaten.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can see. I mean, it wasn't like she was, like, blowing up ammo dumps or something. So...
But the spy part is interesting, you know, unless you're like a chef that's, you know, like a chef assassin that's specifically trained to like make things to kill people. You know what I mean? Like you're shoving things in like food and stuff. She could have done that too. Who knows? You know, she could have made like poison pastries and things like that. And they left that stuff out.
Feed them to, I don't know, you know, communist leaders or something. Yeah.
She feed them to Paul.
So after she graduated from Le Cordon Bleu, Julia met her two co-authors, Simone Beck and Louisette Bertoli. And they're covered in that HBO series too, dealing her relationship with them. And they were already in the midst of writing a cookbook, but since they were not American, they were writing the cookbook for American readers. They needed an American to help them out because they were both French. So the three joined forces to complete the project, and the book called Mastering the Art of French Cooking was years in the making and had a turbulent release. The original publisher pulled out when they actually saw the 726-page book, and they said, what are you guys, kidding? We want a turn-and-stir kind of a book for the American housewife that has like 5 minutes to make dinner. But it turned out unexpectedly to be a huge bestseller, and that's what led her to create a show on PBS. Now, that's where the Julia Child most of us know about begins. Mm-hmm. And she apparently never went back, so, to spying.
Well, yeah, if she's making a lot of money off of, like, books, you know what I mean?
Well, she wasn't making money at PBS. In fact, she had to pay for part of it, according to the series.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she had to use some of her royalties to, because they were so reluctant. I mean, she had, the reason she got into the show, because of the book, she had been invited on a show about books. And it was during that show that she made an omelet for the host on camera. That's what sparked the idea of her having a cooking show, because there really weren't, there may have been another cooking show. There really weren't, I mean, the genre of cooking shows. There was no Food Network in 1961, you know? So, and that whole genre really didn't exist, where you would just sit there for a half hour and show people how to cook. And one of the points that the documentary I mentioned makes is that, you know, this post-World War II period is where there's this explosion of frozen foods, processed foods, like all of this, you know, convenience food, Swanson TV dinners, you know, where people didn't have to work to cook anymore. I mean, they could literally just cook out of a box or a bag or whatever. And so this seemed to be counterintuitive to the way the world was going. But I think maybe people got tired of Salisbury steak and a Swanson's TV dinner. They're like, I'm ready for the shark repellent. Bring it on.
You know what I'm curious about? What the hell was she eating that she was 6'2"?
She's packing the protein.
I mean, it must... I don't know. I mean, it must have been some bizarre, very, very unusual, even today.
That's wild. How tall are you, Thad?
Well, at my peak, I was 6'1". Now in my dotage, I'm beginning to shrink. Before you know it, I'm going to be like the character in the Wonka movie. You know, one of the...
The Oompa Loompas.
One of the Oompa Loompas. Yeah. Hugh Grant is an Oompa Loompa. It'll be me and Hugh. You know, I'm like, hey! We had mentioned Julie and Julia, the movie, earlier. Dylan, you're our resident movie expert. We didn't mention it earlier, but Dylan used to have a podcast devoted to movies.
Nice.
And actually, it was kind of like Julie and Julia because you were like covering the movies in Roger Ebert's book, right? So you were kind of going through his movies that he featured the same way Julie was going through Julia Child's recipes, right?
I guess that's one way to look at it.
Well, that's what struck me, but...
It's an interesting thought. Ebert really is kind of like the Julia Child of film.
Hmm. And even though he's been... How long has he been dead? They keep saying, okay, according to Roger Ebert. So I guess they...
I think 13, 14 years.
So they're just going to keep pretending he's alive and then other people...
He never left us.
Okay.
We had him on the show.
So what can you tell us about Julie and Julia? What kind of insight does it give us? I mean, it's a very interesting premise because, I mean, this... Well, you tell us. You know better than me.
Well... I mean, last time we watched it struck us that it was less of a food movie and more of like a business movie and a publishing world movie and just sort of the struggle of being able to, you know, put your voice out there. And that was an interesting way to think about it because I'd never really clocked it that it was so strongly about those points and... sort of at a crossroads at a time in your life and wanting to try something new. And I think another interesting thing that I find it's interesting about that movie is both of them are sort of reeling from a major world event. You know, it's just post World War II for Julie and just post 9/11 for Julie.
No, that's true. Good point. That's her job, right? She works in the office of providing benefits to survivors, right?
Yeah, like modern woman, how can she be creative? How can she be daring and sort of challenge things about herself and about the conceptions of her age and gender and at a very big turning point in history? And I just think it's quite effective in that way. I mean, Nora Ephron's final movie, and I just think Nora Ephron is one of our great writers, just gone way too soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, she definitely had an amazing touch for relationship movies, mm-hmm. I guess. I don't know. I mean, because couldn't say she's mm-hmm. purely rom-com. I mean, Heartburn is not a rom-com. And of course, she was a huge, huge cook. That was one of her things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't she have like a cooking column or something in the New York Times or?
Yeah, she became a notable food writer.
So I guess we're sort of wrapping up here. I just want, you know, any last thoughts about Julia Child, about what her mission in life was? And I mean, do we like her? Do we like Julia Child? She cool?
Why not?
I mean, she's awesome. I definitely think that she is like very empowered. She definitely, I'm sure her message was empowering for women. Like, hey, you can be a career woman and then you can also change your career and do something different and that kind of thing. Save the world, make some cheese, you know, all that good stuff. So yeah, no, I think it's really fantastic. And I do find the surge of people getting into it, very interesting. It could have been COVID related. It could have been that people are like me and they watch movies like 10 years too late. And then they just discovered this Julie Julia movie and they're like, hey, Meryl Streep, nice. It's very interesting. I definitely think she lived a very fulfilling life for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that we would, if it wasn't for her or someone like her, maybe it didn't have to be her, but since she was, you know, you never know if the pioneer didn't do what they did, would we have this cottage industry of celebrity chefs like we do now? The Emeril Lagasse's, the Anthony Bourdain's, the
Gordon Ramsay's.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Would that exist? I mean, would there be a Food Network?
I think there would. It just would have obviously come a lot later. I mean, I kind of think Ina Garten is very similar. You know what I mean? And I love Ina. Like, I have all her cookbooks. You know, so I think it would just probably have just come a little bit later. She obviously was the trendsetter, you know, but yeah, I think someone else would have come and kind of paved that path.
Dylan, you got any last thoughts, last words?
Yeah.
Benediction?
It's interesting to see where everything got cultivated and galvanized and almost consumed into sort of the TV industry. It was probably going to happen to someone. I think Julia Child is a really thoughtful and fun person that got that opportunity to sort of become that figurehead and sort of, you know, change the way we thought about food and talk about food. And, you know, that's definitely shaped where we came from there.
So what recipe are you going to make tonight from Julia Child's cookbook, Dylan?
I'm doing the creamy mushroom chicken with, ooh, I'm going to make some asparagus with it. I'm excited, but I am hungry, so.
Yeah. See, you don't know if you can wait. You're going to head for the bag of Ruffles.
Yeah, I got to do that.
Okay, well, thank you very much, everybody. Really appreciate you stepping in here. And Dylan, thanks again for showing up and helping us out. You're always there when we need you. Thanks, bud.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. See you, everybody.
Bye.
As usual, we hope you'll follow or subscribe to Scandal Sheet on your favorite pod platform and share it with all your friends. We'd also love it if you'd leave us a shameless, over-the-top review on Apple Podcasts especially. That helps us build audience. We also want to hear from you. You can reach us online at scandalsheetpod.com, Facebook or Twitter, now called X, or just send us an email to contact@scandalsheetpod.com. See you again on Scandal Sheet.
Copyright 2024. Thad Helsley Media, LLC. All rights reserved.